we are the super nerdy Sailor Guardians who fight for love and justice. And this is Across the Mooniverse.
Hello, and welcome to Across the Mooniverse. My name is Maddie.
And I'm Mike.
And hoo-hoo, buddy. Let me tell you something friendship.
Happy Moon Day, everybody. Happy Moon Day.
Happy Moon Day!
All right, we got Season 1, Episode 21. Protect the Children's Dreams, Friendship Through Anime.
The entire premise of this show,
exactly.
Friendship Through Anime.
Friendship Through Anime. So it opens with, say, Lore,
V.
And a new blockbuster animated movie coming soon to a theater near you. And then Usagi's like, I'm so jealous. Sailor V gets to have her own anime movie. Why can't someone make an anime movie about me? Which I love, because it's just like, and then Luna says, I wish I could meet an artist dumb enough to make an animated movie about you, which I thought was really mean. That's really, like that's, Luna said some mean things before, but that's like the meanest thing she said.
True.
But I get it. It's the show's creators making fun of themselves.
Yeah, because, you may not know this, but this is a filler episode. This does not happen in the manga.
Right.
And it's actually based off of staff that did the animation for the show. Like, the three characters who are named in the story arc are actually named after, like, their character name is the name of one of the animators.
Oh, okay. Okay, so, I wondered about that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's a lot of meta humor in this episode, a lot of tongue-in-cheek about being an animator and things like that. So I'm very excited.
I wonder if the director of the Sailor Moon episodes, if he had a little baby who would say babu babu all the time. All right, so we pan across the skyline, then we cut to some people walking. Mm-hmm. So depressed. Do you understand what the director wanted? No, he always speaks in these abstract terms I don't get. And the director's like, I can't really put it into words, but look at Sailor V's posture here. It feels like there's not enough love there. And her bent knee and leg just don't evoke any passion.
Yes.
Two young women. And she says, so you're pretty much saying that we need to make her look sexier, right? And then the director gets all bent out of shape, and he's like, what kind of question is that? I'll have you know that I'm a father, young lady. I'd never imply anything as offensive as that.
It's beautiful. And fun fact, the animator who's named after, or who the director is named after, in the show is accused of wanting Sailor V to be sexier. But in reality, Kazuko, which is another character, one of the two girls, she is actually the animator who shortened their skirts. So
interesting.
Fun facts.
Yep. So the short haired girl, Hiromi, says, I might as well face it. I don't have any talent. I should just quit being an animator. And then Kazuko says, no, what are you saying? And Hiromi says, I was just kidding. I wouldn't give up my dream that easily. And then that's a Hiromi I know. I'll race you to the studio. And hey, wait, no fair. Kazuko, slow down. And in running after her, Hiromi drops her portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And
happens to be there?
Amitan just happens to be walking out of a bookstore. Of course she's in a bookstore.
Of course she is.
And notices Hiromi dropping the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, excuse me, but they run off.
Yeah.
And then she looks at the portfolio and it says Studio Dive. That must be their address. What could I do? I have cram school now. deliver it when it's over. Of course, she has cram school.
Of course, she has cram school, and she can't possibly do good deeds before studying. Studying is utmost out of everything. She's got to get to cram school. She's got to do that. But good deeds should also happen, so she'll do that later.
All right. Then what happens?
Then we cut to everyone's favorite chateau, Nephrite Mansion.
Nephrite's Mansion.
And he is doing his magical star magic that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, weaving dreams of light and shadow, spinning time into images in our eyes. Gemini, the twins, are showing us a source of energy. Castor and Pollux, the time has come to use my most powerful monsters.
Yes.
And he's so ominous.
When he's summoning Gemini, we see an image of Hiromi.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked up Castor and Pollux. I looked up Gemini.
Uh-huh.
And they're actually not twins. They're brothers. They're both the sons of Leda, queen of Sparta, but they have different fathers. Castor was the mortal son of Tyndarus, while Pollux was the divine son of Zeus, who disguised himself as a swan, which is just as weird. Might not just be a Greek god.
Because it's Zeus.
Was that a big thing? Was there a lot of swan sex going on?
Listen, if there's one thing I learned about Zeus in all of my years of schooling, especially when we focused on, mythology, reading the Odyssey specifically, Zeus likes to fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he will fuck anything.
He's always transforming into something else to trick the person.
Yeah. It's never just like, hey, I'm Zeus.
I'm basically
the best god of all the gods. Maybe we should get to hook up. No. It's always just like, let me pretend to be a swan and you'll be so attracted to this swan.
Because that's what women go for.
I mean, sure. Or something.
But I thought that was interesting. I have always thought that they were twins, that Gemini were twins, but they're not.
That is what the astrological sign is.
No, Castor and Pollux they're not twins. They're brothers.
It's called Gemini the Twins.
But it's wrong. They're not twins. They're brothers.
I mean, twins are also brothers. Like, it's hard to be a twin when you're not a brother. I guess you could be a sister or
right.
just a sibling.
Yeah.
You have to be related to the other person to be a twin.
They have different fathers. There's no way they're twins. Whether they're identical or fraternal, that's not how twins work. They don't have different...
I don't know. This is mythology. Maybe the queen is like cats and can give birth to multiple litters at once.
Okay.
I'm just saying, it's mythology.
All right.
Just throwing it out there.
I was just saying that I always thought they were twins and they're not. They're brothers.
It's interesting.
We'll get to more on Castor and Pollux later. So it's two most powerful monsters. He's pulling out all the stops. Why wouldn't you just open with your two most powerful monsters? Why didn't he bust these out in the tennis episode?
Because the stars were not aligned.
Fair enough. All right.
Nephrite logic,
So then we cut to a convenience store, mm-hmm. and did you notice above the convenience store there's a canopy, and it has the letter 7,
uh-huh.
and it has Japanese kanji, which I'm assuming says 11, because that canopy is a 7-Eleven canopy.
It is making fun of 7-Eleven in the way that there are 7-Elevens everywhere in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we bought our tickets to Cafe Orzia. We went to a 7-Eleven.
Oh, wow.
The sign actually has so it's got the number 7, and then it has, what is it called? Katakana underneath,
okay.
That says Sebun Marto, or Mato.
Okay.
So it's 7 Mart is the
okay
joke, but it's definitely a reference to 7-Eleven.
Well, yeah, because the candy has the color scheme and the striped color scheme of a 7-Eleven. Yeah.
Yep. Very popular in Japan.
So then we see Ami walking down the street looking for Studio Dive. And
yeah, it's
Nephrite,
much later in the day. It's like nighttime now.
Yeah, and Nephrite speeds by her.
Yeah.
And she says, that's Masato Sanjuin. She's Nephrite.
Also, how did she see him so clearly?
He was speeding.
If he was driving so fast, because he is definitely speeding.
Mm-hmm.
And then, my logic there is, you know, she sees the American car. She goes, who drives an American car in Tokyo? I know that long hair that I saw briefly through the window.
Yeah, well, it's the American car gave him away. That's how she knew it was him. Yeah,
exactly.
So do you notice the kanji on the, he has a vanity plate on his Ferrari.
I did not read it. No.
I wonder what it says. We should get the intern on that.
I'm going to get the intern on that. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So then we go to the interior Studio Dive. Hiromi is drawing Sailor B. She says, this is no good. This drawing doesn't capture any of Sailor B's real love or show her real passion. Grr, I give up. And she crumples up a drawing. Hiromi looks at Kazuku's desk, looks at her drawings. It's like, wow, Kazuku really finished all this work? Ah, Kazuko, she's truly a great artist. These really show Sailor B coming to life. She's captured the love and passion perfectly here. I can't let her outdo me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hiromi pulls out a blue pencil box with a pink ribbon around it. She says, I guess I'll have to work with these special ones.
Yes. Guess I'll have to use these. Use this again is what she says in Japanese.
Yeah. Then we go into a flashback because there always has to be a flashback or a dream sequence. And in this one, Hiromi and Kazuku are dressed in school uniforms.
Yeah,
and they're crouched down in front of a display case in a department store. It looks like a Macy's or something.
Yeah, it has that sort of feel.
Yeah, it's definitely a department store. And she's like, "Wow, these pencils are used by professional animators." And I like the pencils used by professional animators are pink and blue candy stripe.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And so they buy them for the big animation project coming in the spring. And
where they'll be real professional animators.
Yeah, exactly. And they vow that they'll only use them to draw anime that makes kids happy. And they'll only open the untie the box with each other's approval, and they do a pinky promise.
Is that okay? So it's make kids happy is what they say. That's what they're gonna do.
Uh huh.
In because it's so much more extreme in the Japanese because it's we're gonna make the ultimate anime that won't ruin children's dreams.
Oh, okay. Okay. And yeah, I watched the subtitled version too, but I didn't catch that. I do remember the ultimate anime now. Yeah.
I was cracking up. I was like, that's so intense.
Very intense. And then we're back to the present, and Hiromi's like, I know I made a promise. She unties the box to reveal all pencils are gone except for one stubby half pencil left.
Yeah.
Like, I already used my pencils quite a bit without telling.
She broke the promise.
She says that when she uses them, she feels inspired. And if I don't do something soon, Kazuku will leave me in her dust. And then Nephrite enters. It's obviously like after hours. It's like in the evening.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then this random guy just enters Studio Dive. And she's like, who are you? And he's like, hi, you're Hiromi Matsuno. Is that right? Excuse me, but I'm a big fan of yours. I just dropped by to see where you work. That would never happen. She would have the door locked if it was after hours. He just wanders in. He's like, I'm a big fan of your work. And then he reaches down and he picks up the pencil and he enchants it with his crest and drops the pencil back on the desk. And he just walks out.
My notes are, he goes to grab the pencil and she goes, please don't. And then I put in parentheses, proceeds to be evil. That's what Nephrite does. Please don't. Too bad.
Yeah.
The intern is letting me know that they have an answer about Nephrite's license plate. But first, I must ask you, do you remember what Jadeite's radio DJ name was?
No, I don't.
It was Jadeito. If you'll remember.
Now I remember.
Knowing this fact, what do you think Nephrite's license plate says?
Nephrite.
That's how Amy knew who it was. She was like, it's like, I was reading a synopsis of the episode earlier just to like refresh my memory. And it was like, Amy realizes that Masato Sanjuin is Nephrite. I'm like, she read the license plate, man. I can't believe her doing that while she's speeding. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Perfect.
The Dark Kingdom, they are not subtle.
So he enchants the pencil and just walks right out. No more interaction.
He's like, bye.
Now he's not even trying to conceal the fact that he enchanted the pencil.
Yeah.
He doesn't even care. He's just like, let those monsters go to work.
He does stare at her for a really long time too.
Yeah, he does.
It's a little weird.
And it goes to black and white, so we know that it'd be enchanting.
Evil is afoot.
Happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then he steps out of Studio Dive and he's back outside of Studio Dive. And he says, now all that's left to do is lure the Sailor Guardians here.
And
Sailor Mercury is standing on top of the Ferrari. She yells, Nephrite, you're up to no good again, aren't you?
And he's like, oh, it's Sailor Mercury. Oh, well, and thank you for making my work easy for me.
He's got his hands in his pockets.
Yeah.
And he jumped all the way across the street. He jumps across the city street.
Yeah.
And knocks her off of his Ferrari.
With a karate chop to the ankles.
And he said, I've got just the monster to deal with you. I suggest you polish up on your fighting skills.
Yeah.
And Sailor Mercury says, what are you saying? And Nephrite peels out and speeds away. Yeah. When she saw him outside of the 7-Eleven, she transformed into Sailor Mercury.
Damn right she did.
She was waiting for him when he came out of Studio Dive, standing on top of his car. And he didn't. All he did was knock her down. He didn't finish her off or anything like that. He just knocked her down and he said, "I've got just the monsters to deal with you.
Yeah.
Suggest you polish up on your fighting skills."
He knows he's like, "I don't have time for you. All you have is bubbles." And I will say, okay, so I was reading the edits to in the original dub because this did air in the 90s. And for some reason, they cut out part where Nephrite karate chops her ankles. And so
Oh, really?
It just looks like he jumps over to her and then she falls off the car. It's just like cut to she's falling off the car now because we can't show him karate chopping her ankles. What will the American children think?
That's interesting. That brings me to another question because Aster and Pollux are female, the Yomas coming up. But we'll just talk about it now. And we had talked about this before. Other than Leo the Lion, who chased Sailor Moon and never engaged her, just chased her.
Mm-hmm.
They've all been female. Yomas have all been female. Do you think that was done on purpose because the Sailor Guardians are female?
Yeah. Probably.
That's what I think.
It's a very Sailor Moon trope.
Yeah, because when we get to the Yomas, we'll talk more about them. But they're female instead of male. They're supposedly Catherine Pollux, but they have male names. You know. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Kazuku walks in and she says, "I stopped and got a snacks." And Hiromi turns her head slowly to stare at Kazuko.
Yeah. Very creeper vibes.
Yeah. And then Ami-chan, who has changed back in. From Sailor Mercury back into her regular school clothes. She enters and she says, "Hi there. I think your friend dropped these." Kazuki says, "Yes, these are very important to us." And hey, Hiromi, look what this nice girl just brought us. You should thank her too. Hiromi ignores them and goes into another room. And then Kazuki says, "Sorry, she's had a lot of work to do, so she's a bit out of it." come back another time and I can show you around the studio. And then Ami's like, what was Nephrite doing here? We have to get to the bottom of this.
It's true. She's really, she wants to know. She's really worried.
Yeah. And then we cut to, it looks like they're at school. It looks like.
Yeah. They're hanging out at school.
And have you ever noticed that that Ami holds Luna the most?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that?
Oh yeah.
Even though Luna lives with Sailor with Usagi, whenever Ami's around, she's holding Luna.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's very true.
Once again, in this case, she's holding Luna, and Luna's scolding her for facing Nephrite alone.
Yeah, she's like, "What? Who are you? Why are you doing this? This is so unlike you. That's so dangerous."
Right, and then Usagi says, "Luna's right. If you'd have called, I would have rushed right over."
And
that's
then
where
Luna...
they're making the new Sailor V movie. I could have gotten a hold of one of their cell drawings as a souvenir.
Yeah.
And if Nephrite was there, we really need to go check it out.
Yeah.
And then in the dub, Luna says, how weird and wacky can this girl get? I think she says that in the sub, too.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Luna's just like super shook. She's like, because right when Usagi's like, I would have immediately rushed over if you told me where you were. Luna was like, that's not something that Usagi says because Ami-chan was like beforehand was like, I had to go after him. I wasn't thinking. And Luna's like, wait, that's not what? And then the moment that Usagi reveals that that's where the Sailor V anime is being made, Luna's like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
It makes sense now.
Yeah. And Usagi's like, well, if Nephrite was there, we certainly have to go there.
Yeah, we gotta check it out. I mean, it's important.
And then Ami's like, okay, we'll go to Studio Dive after school.
And Usagi is so down.
Yeah, so down. And then cut to Studio Dive.
Mm-hmm.
And Hiromi puts a large stack of drawings on a shelf. Kazuki says, Hiromi, you drew all of those just in one night? And Hiromi's like, sure. Doesn't everybody? And then she's like, Kazuko, I want to have this room all to myself today.
Yeah, because she's got to go in there and draw with her extendo pencil.
And so she gets into her room all by herself, and she's like, you can't outdo me now, Kazuku, not as long as I have this pencil. And the pencil shimmers, and it goes from a stub, and it grows back into a full-size pencil again.
Yup.
And then we have the commercial break.
Theta Moon!
All right, we come back from commercial, and what's happening?
What's happening is Ray is just not interested in touring an anime studio.
Ray,
she's
like
it's boring. Animation. It's for children.
She's like, why would I want to visit that place? Besides, anime is really for kids.
Yeah. And she's just like, no, I'm not, whatever. And then Ami and Usagi are like, I guess we'll go by ourselves. And then it cuts to them leaving school and Usagi being like, ooh, it's so late.
One thing. So when they're talking on the communicators, mm-hmm. I noticed on the communicator, when they're talking, there's a little volume indicator, like an EQ, like an equalizer.
Uh-huh.
But instead of red and green lines, it's little bunnies.
Yeah, because it's Usagi.
As their volume increases and decreases, it's more or less bunnies.
Yeah,
I thought that was fantastic.
Well, of course, because it's Usagi.
Yeah,
you know Usagi means bunny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her full name means Rabbit of the Moon.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Yeah. So we cut to outside of Studio Dive.
And well, no. We cut to it's outside of school.
Oh, it's outside of school. Okay.
Yeah, and Usagi had to stay after because she is
had
bad
to catch
at
up
studying
on homework. Yep.
And catch up on homework. And as they're leaving and lamenting about how late it is, Ray is there wearing casual clothes and holding a shopping bag of sorts. And she's like,
adorable,
what?
She has adorable pink overalls on.
Yeah, they're really cute. Yeah. That's one of my favorite outfits of hers. And she's just like, what took you guys so long? I have been waiting here for you for ages. And they're like, we thought you didn't want to come. Like, why are you here and all this stuff? And she's like, you know, if Nephrite was seen there, we should probably check it out.
And then
that's
Luna
says, like,
Where
Sounds
have I
familiar.
Heard that before?
Yeah. And then it's right about that time that Ray's like, let's go. And then her bag breaks and a whole bunch of autograph boards fall out and land on the ground. And she's just like, whoops, you weren't supposed to see this. And then
right.
Ami gives her like the worst, the best diss ever. But without actually saying anything, like without actually like there was no oh snap, because she just, as Ray is picking all of her autograph boards up, Ami says, we're going to be in our final year of middle school next year. And Ray's like, yeah. And what it was, why are you bringing this up? And Ami's like, oh, no reason.
Which I also thought was the animators of the Sailor Moon. You know, when they make these statements like anime is just for kids,
yeah,
and that we're gonna be in high school next year, you know, yeah. they're like playing into this idea, you know, they're making a comment on this idea that anime is just for kids.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's hilarious. I love the tongue in cheek humor in this episode because it's just like, yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then after she says that, in the dub, she says Miss Smarty Pants thinks she's all that, but in the sub it says, is she asking for a fight?
Yeah. Which I mean, yeah, the dub or the subs feels more Ray.
Yeah.
And then after that scene, we cut back to Chateau Nephrite, where he's drinking a nice beverage.
I know. I wondered what that beverage was. Is he having a scotch?
It's like a scotch or like a whiskey or something. Like it's some sort of amber colored liquid in a.
He's sitting out. He's sitting outside of the mansion, like on a patio, enjoying a beverage. It's in a lowball glass.
Yeah,
I figured it was scotch or something like that. And then Zoisite shows up. And he's like, well, shouldn't you be working? And Nephrite says, what now? And Zoisite says, so I take it your plan is going quite well this time. And Nephrite says, everything is going perfectly. And Zoisite says, you already seem pretty confident of the outcome, but I'll believe it when I see it. Nephrite just goes, and sips his beverage.
Yes, he's like, how dare you? Also, how did, I guess... We've seen Nephrite jump, and we know the Zoisite can float. So I've already answered the question before I've asked it, but there are no stairs in that chateau.
Right.
Why is there a balcony?
Yeah.
I was going to ask how they got up there, but Nephrite can jump for days, and Zoisite literally floats. So.
Yep, perfectly. Exactly.
Doggone right, it.
So we tilt down to studio dive. Mm-hmm. And Ray and Usagi are gushing over the animator's work, and they're like,
they are fangirling
so cool.
Hardcore.
This is so cool. I love Sailor V.
Yeah.
And
meanwhile, Ami-chan is trying to get down to business.
Oh, and then there's a moment where Usagi goes, Sailor V kind of looks like me. I love that.
And then the little argument that they have in the background of, What are you talking about? No, she doesn't. It's so good. It's so good. I love it when they include those little background arguments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Ami asks Kazuko if anything out of the ordinary has happened recently.
And it's about that time that Hiromi comes out and he yells at Usagi and Rei and tells them to shut up.
Can't you see that we're all working?
This is a workplace.
Yes, you might want to try keeping the noise down. You're being rude and distracting. Kazuko gets on Hiromi's case, and she says, that's no way to treat fans of what we do here.
Yeah, she's like, how dare you? Well, our job wouldn't exist without these people to enjoy it.
And then Hiromi's like, they're probably just here to get autographs and free drawings.
Which, I mean...
And then Kazuko says, these girls are not like that.
No, and they're not.
In the dub, she says, really? You act like they're a bunch of freeloaders.
What a weird choice.
I know. I love some of the choices in the dub.
Yeah. It's just odd.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then the phone rings. And the director is pleased with Hiromi's drawings.
Yes.
And he can't wait to look at her work on the final scene. It's important to note that the director always has this child on his back. It's like a little backpack that the child rides in. And the child's got bunny ears. The child is wearing pajamas with bunny ears. Mm-hmm. And the little child just keeps going, "Babu, babu, babu, babu."
Yes.
In between everything the director says, the child is going, "Babu, babu."
And I don't know if they do it in the dub, but in the sub, the babu babus are translated as well. In the subtitle, so it says babu babu, and then it says in parentheses what the baby is saying, which is basically just saying the exact same thing that the dad is saying.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So then Hiromi reveals that she has a great ending in mind. In the last scene, she's going to kill off Sailor V.
Dun, dun,
he says, that's exactly the type of scene kids today want to see.
Today's children want to see their heroine get killed.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right, I mean, 2024 today's children? Possibly.
And then
the
she
weird
hangs
world.
Up, then she hangs up on the director. And Kazuku says, what you said about the final scene, you weren't serious. And Hiromi says, yes, I am. Since I'm entrusted with the final scene, I'll decide what to do with it. And Kazuku says, Hiromi, what's gotten into you? Remember that anime is something we all work on together. You used to say that all the time. To create anime, you have to have teamwork. And Hiromi says, I hear what you're saying, but it's just anime. Teamwork is dead. Who needs it?
But teamwork makes the dream work.
And then it cuts to Rei and Usagi, and Rei says, I sense something, an evil presence.
My notes on this say, then Rei be like, bitch be evil. I'm like, she do be like that sometimes.
So Hiromi says, this is stupid, and walks out of the studio.
Yeah.
And Kazuko says, wait, let me go talk to her. And everybody from the studio goes outside to look around for Hiromi.
Yeah.
And Hiromi has climbed up onto the roof.
Wait. Right. Before that. Did you notice the Sailor V poster?
I did, but nothing in particular about it. What about it?
You nothing at all in particular about
no,
it? Like nothing about how it had Sailor V, Mars, Mercury, and Tuxedo Mask on it?
I guess I didn't register with me.
You'll have to go back. I had to, because I was watching and I was like, is that Tuxedo Mask? And I had to go back and look again and be like,
oh,
it is Tuxedo Mask. And I paused. Well, of course, I'm going to see him. That's Bay. Like, yeah. I've got my eye for Bay.
I watch each episode. I probably end up watching each episode 5 or 6 times. And yeah. I didn't catch that. So
that's because you're not on the lookout for Bay.
That's why.
I'm honed in. But I was like, is that Bay? And then I paused it right there. And I noticed that off to the side is Mercury and Mars, and I was like, the hey, wait a minute.
Okay, so when we cut to Hiromi up on the roof,
yeah,
did you notice what's in the skyline, the Juban skyline? It's the freaking Eiffel Tower.
It looks like the Eiffel Tower, but it's not the Eiffel Tower.
It looks like the Eiffel Tower.
it's not, but it let me give you the landmark. Hold on just a second. Let me send the intern out of that.
All right. So is it a real Japan? There's a landmark in the skyline that looks like the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah. There is. It's Tokyo Tower.
Okay.
Which is very, very... it's very common to see in, like, early anime. Like, it is where the start of Magic Knight Ray Earth, which is one of my other favorite magical girl animes, it's where it starts. So it was based on the Eiffel Tower in design. It was completed in 1958 and it is 333 meters tall. It was the tallest freestanding tower in the world when it was built. and it remained the tallest structure in Japan until it was surpassed by the Sky Tree in 2010. And the Sky Tree is 634 meters high.
Okay.
And I have been up there to the top of the Sky Tree, and it is terrifying.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds awful.
Yeah. It was, it's an elevator ride on the way up. And the elevator has a big glass window, so you can watch yourself go up.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of heights. Like, I worked up, you know, I did a lot of work in aerial lifts, you know, we put lights in those big self-articulating lifts.
Yeah.
If anyone's driven past a movie being shot at night, they've seen them, you see the lights way up high.
For sure.
But I used to drive around in those all the time. Those go up to 110 feet, some of them.
Yeah.
And that never bothered me. But being up that high, that would bother me.
And, you know, we talked a couple episodes ago about how I'm afraid of elevators,
right.
Regardless of how safe they are. So that was very much me in the corner of the elevator, gripping the handles, just like white knuckle all the way up as I went up with like maybe 15 different people in this big elevator all the way to the top.
Uh-huh. I bet it was an amazing view of Tokyo, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was stunning. Like, it was so beautiful. It was really nice to be up there. And, like, I have no problem being up that high as long as I don't have to go near the edge of anything, because I'm mostly just afraid of falling. Yeah, but it was really fun. Both the guys that I went with, Peter and Tyler, one of them wanted, they both wanted me to take a picture with them on the glass floor. You could get like souvenir pictures, and I was like, I think you're both great. There is no way in hell you're getting me to walk on that. Thank you.
That would freak me out too. We had to do that. I was rigging for a movie called Dragonfly with Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
And there's this house in Malibu that they were shooting at. It's a $25 million house, and they didn't have just skylights on it. They had a glass roof. And we were told that you could walk on it, but you should probably stick to the edges of the panes of glass. Don't walk in the middle of the panes of glass. And I'm like, that is so sketchy.
So
sketchy, because the panes of glass were like, they were like 4x8 sheets of glass, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, my God, what we were doing was we were blacking it out. We were taking big, big, huge black fabrics.
Yeah.
And we were blacking it out because they were going to shoot there like it was nighttime.
Yeah.
But they're going to shoot during the day, so they wanted it blacked out. So we had to walk out on it and secure the black fabric to keep any sunlight from bleeding in. And just walking out on that was so, because you look down, and of course, when you're inside of this house in Malibu, it's probably 50 feet to the ceiling from the floor.
Yeah.
So when I'm up outside of it on top of the glass roof, I'm looking down and I'm like, if I crash through this thing, I'm dead.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, if I come crash into this thing, I'm dead. Yeah, that was when they told us that we could walk on it, but don't walk in the middle. I was just like, oh my God, that's so sketch.
Oh, can't do it.
I can't imagine doing it 600 meters up.
Oh my gosh.
Those are big. They have bridges in China that are just glass. They're all glass.
Yeah.
And some of them have been failing.
I wonder why.
Because it's not safe.
No.
All right.
Oh,
so,
Hiromi's on the rooftop, Tokyo Tower's in the background.
Okay. And Hiromi's got a white glow all around her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Kazuko, you really think you're better than me, don't you? Just because you have a little talent, you really think you're so great. Now I'm the one who's on a roll. All I need is this pencil. And she holds the pencil up in the air. The pencil starts pulsating and flashing.
Mm-hmm.
Nephrite gets a zap to the forehead. So Nephrite must have remote viewing. He must have some kind of remote. Yeah, because he's still just at the mansion. And he gets a zap to the forehead, and he calls out, energy level peak, Castor, Pollux, do it.
Yeah.
And then the pink and blue ribbons of light surround Hiromi in a double helix.
Mm-hmm.
The ribbons turn into fluff balls. And then they turn into Castor and Pollux, which Castor and Pollux are female characters. They have little skirts on, and they have tails. Did you notice?
Yeah, they have tails, yeah. And they kind of have like an A-line bob going on with their hair.
Yeah, and they have this really weird feature on each shoulder. Mm-hmm. They have it's like a tube that goes around to their ears, like it's holding a smartphone to their ear from each shoulder. So I'm not sure what that was supposed to be at all. Are they supposed to be like shoulder pads?
I think it's supposed to be weird alien looking stuff. I don't know. It's a Yoma. Let me tell you, when it comes to Yoma, that is probably, by the time we get to, listen, that's a very tame Yoma. That's okay. All I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm so excited for the future because you're going to experience some really interesting.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I don't know. They all look weird.
So when that happens, Kazuko faints, and then Luna calls out for them to transform.
Yeah, and it's a transformation.
Yeah, exactly. they call out Moon Prism Power, Mercury Power, Mars Power, and then all three of them together make up. And then we see the transformation, and it's quicker versions of the transformation.
Yeah,
of all three of them, they all transform pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And then we cut back to Nephrite's mansion, and Zoisite asks, "So these monsters are powerful?" And Nephrite says, "Absolutely. Like the twins, they're bound by a deep connection. Their superior power will finish off those Sailor Guardians."
Yeah, and what is their superior power?
Their friendship. Yep.
Their power. In Nephrite's mind, the power of friendship is greater than the power of love.
I suppose.
I think it's silly because friendship is love. So,
there you go.
As we're about to see.
So, Ray calls out, "Anime nurtures kids' minds and fosters their dreams." And then Ami, "How dare you take advantage of youthful passion?" And then Sailor Moon says, "Your evil actions have even made anime lovers like us mad." But in the sub, she says, "Even older girls who like anime are mad."
Preach. As an older girl who likes anime. Yes.
Exactly.
Damn right, Sailor Moon.
In the name of the moon, we'll punish you. They all call it out.
We'll show y'all.
And then my notes here are, Castor and Pollux are very feminine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Female voices. Sports bras with tails, and one's orange and one's gray.
And this is
and
how
one
I...
Of them, I don't know which one was Castor and which one was Pollux.
Me either.
One says, it's very silly to think. And then the other one says, that you have a chance against us. And then Sailor Moon says, we'll stop you. And then then Castor and Pollux tie their tails together. And one of them says, the powerful bond that we share together makes us invincible. You guardians have no chance to win. Around and around and take this. And then one of them shoots swirling fireballs at the guardians. Swirling fireballs that look very much like Fire Soul.
Yes, they do. In movement as well.
And then they spin around, my turn, around and take that. And the other one shoots bubbles at the guardians.
Mm-hmm. And shovel and spray, if you will.
Our teamwork has knocked you out. And the guardians lay on the roof. And Sailor Mars says, they're attacking us with the same techniques we use.
Yeah. May I say, before we go much further.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this fight, I think we get one of the first instances of one of my favorite anime laughs.
Okay.
Because one of... Castor or Prolix, whichever one it is, does my favorite anime laugh, and I'm gonna pull the mic away from my mouth, so hopefully this will pick up because it's loud and I don't want to hurt people's ears. It's the laugh.
Yep. I know what you're talking about.
And they utilize that laugh in Sailor Moon a good amount of times, and it's always choice. It always brings me so much joy. So I was just like, the oh-ho-hos, that's my favorite.
It's very diabolical. Oh, yeah. I love that.
It's what, anytime I'm being diabolical, I will utilize that laugh. Because it's just, it's so satisfying to do, too.
So then after the Sailor Guardians have been knocked down with their mm-hmm. own, with their own spells, basically, the twins start arguing about who gets to finish them off. And they're like, fine, we're finished. And they unhook their tails.
The friendship is over because they can't decide who's going to kill the Senshi.
Yeah. And Luna says, now's your chance. Those monster and teamwork is done.
And then
Sailor Moon says, okay, we'll show them what real teamwork can do.
Hell yeah.
And Mercury say, right. And then give me the order of attack because it's important. You remember?
No, because I just got so excited about the tri-attack.
So what happens is Mars calls out fire. Mercury calls out bubble. Sailor Moon calls out moon tiara. And then soul, spray, action.
And
we see the tiara is flying towards mm-hmm. the monsters. And then it gets engulfed in a fireball. And then that gets surrounded by bubbles. And then, so this is the first time we've ever seen this happen, because normally the tiara, the attacks happen in an order. They're not coordinated as one like this.
Can I tell you something really cool?
Sure.
This is the last time we will see this happen.
Okay.
Do you remember the sonar hair ornaments from episode one?
Yes.
Yeah. Haven't seen those yet again.
No.
Sailor Moon has a lot of abilities that only get used once. It's quite remarkable. I love it.
So the tiara is buffed with fire and bubbles, mm-hmm. and it knocks both of the Oma out. They just turn into black dust and disappear.
And Nephrite
is right before they get vaporized, they say, "Oh no, we should have valued our friendship a lot more."
Damn right, you should have.
And then Castor and Pollux are defeated.
Mm-hmm. And Nephrite is shook.
He says, this can't be. And Zoisite says, ha, how amusing watching you fail. Zoisite disappears in a swirl of flower petals. And Nephrite says, it seems I underestimated those Sailor Guardians.
Yeah, you underestimated. Have. He underestimated friendship. He underestimated love. He has to underestimated friendship and love being the same thing.
Yeah. All right, so then we cut back to Hiromi and Kazuko, mm-hmm. and Hiromi admits she's been using the special pencils, and Kazuko admits that she's been doing the same.
They're both bad promise keepers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then they make a promise to only use them for the ultimate anime, the one to make kids happy.
Yes,
and
they said
and they do it.
They
do
said
a new
we should
pinky
always
promise.
Be we should always be making the ultimate anime. To not ruin, that doesn't ruin children's dreams. Like, we should be using these pencils all the time because that's when we said we were going to use them and we should never not be making that kind of anime.
And in the dub, it says, keep drawing children's dreams and keep working to make them come true.
Yeah.
So then Luna says, now I really want to see the Sailor V anime when they finish it.
Me too, Luna. Me.
And that's the
too.
End of the episode.
Yeah. I wish there was a Sailor V anime.
Of course you do.
Even if they do like a mini series, because that's what the manga is. The manga is like two issues. At least now it is. I had it. The manga is like two issues. It's really short. You can make like a little movie. Sailor V, please give it to me. I want it. I want to consume more.
So now I really want to know.
Yeah.
When Sailor Moon transformed, right? Because mm-hmm. they're in Juban.
Yeah.
Right? What happened to Tuxedo Mask?
Listen.
Did he get a headache and just decide not to show up?
Maybe he was like, he got the headache and he was honest. You know what he probably was doing is.
He was on the train coming back from the beach is what he was doing.
Yeah, he was like, damn it. This bullet train is slow. What the hell? No, he was probably, they were on a rooftop, right? So he was very clearly on the ledge just underneath the rooftop. That's where he was.
He saw that they didn't need his help, so he
didn't
show
up.
Yeah,
he was like, oh, I'm fine. I'll just be here in case they need
me. Oh, this one's about friendship? Oh, they got this.
Yeah, I'm not needed here.
Yeah. Okay, I also noted that I believe this is the first time that the Yeomans talk. I don't think the Yeomans have ever spoken before.
They have in the first episode.
Other than saying Urgard.
Yeah, in the first episode, Morga is masquerading as Naru's mom, and she talks to Naru about she just like and then a lot of Jadeites Yoma speak because they're usually masquerading
as something
people.
Else, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nephrites, a lot of Nephrites don't really, because they kind of get summoned right before the battle, and if they do speak, it's mostly just like, I'll get you, or take this.
Yeah. But this was the first time that the Yeomans have had lines where they're really directed at the people they're fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, they had personality.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And also with Nephrites Yeomans, most of them seem to be... themed after whatever item they were enchanted into, you know.
I guess if we the spider Yoma from the wedding dress episode,
mm-hmm.
She talked, didn't she?
I don't think so.
You're gonna make me go back and watch 21 episodes just to make notes.
I don't think maybe she spoke. I don't know. It just seemed like. I just really noticed these two talking because they had quite a few lines.
Yeah, I think it's also the first time that there's been more than one Yoma.
Right, yeah.
So, and they had chemistry with one another. Like, they actually had personality.
They took turns talking, too. They finished each other's sentences and stuff.
For sure. Yeah.
And they may have been invincible prior to unlatching their tails. If they had kept their tails latched together, I don't know if that... Muchara action, even though it was buffed with fire soul and bubble spray, I don't know if that would have done them in.
Yeah,
you know, it was because they didn't value their friendship enough that they got defeated.
Yeah, the moral of the story is you should always kill people together.
There you go. Always murder in groups. Precisely.
Always murder in groups.
Yeah.
Never do it by yourself.
Now I noticed that this next episode coming up is from the manga. This is a canon episode,
mm-hmm.
And I haven't read it in the manga. I just know that this is the next chapter in the manga.
Yes,
it's the Masquerade Ball, Romance Under the Moon, Usagi's First Kiss.
It's a good one. It's a really good episode.
Usagi's gonna have her first kiss with it. Mm-hmm. She goes to a masquerade ball with Tuxedo Mask.
Yes, and this episode's alternate title is AKA Why I Think Umino might be hot.
Okay.
So we'll find out what that means next time. That's a great place to end it.
Perfect. Perfect.
Everyone can ponder over why I might think Umino is hot.
All right. You want to mention social media?
Hell yeah. As always, you guys can, we are on X/Twitter. We're on X as @MooneyCast. You can also use the hashtag MooneyCast to connect with us. That's MOONIE cast. And we're also on Facebook under Across the Mooniverse on our page. Mike has been taking the helm on the Facebook page, and I appreciate him so much for that. And of course, we have our main website, which is acrossthemooniverse.castos.com. We upload there every other Monday as best we can. Barring any sort of life delays, but we are plugging along, and we're always happy to have listeners, and I love to talk about Sailor Moon. I could do it every day, every single day.
I'm learning to love it.
You're learning to love it?
Yeah.
I'm very excited. We're getting into like the good meat of this season. There is going to be like a whole chunk of filler episodes coming up, but like shit's starting to pop off.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Good night, everybody. Right. I'm out.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.